Welcome to the Functional Medicine Radio Show with your host, Dr. Carrie Drisga, known internationally as the Functional Medicine Doc. Dr. Carrie is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems and fixing the cause with natural treatments so they can feel normal again. Dr. Carrie is the founder of Functional Medicine Ontario and is the author of the hit book, Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again. Please welcome your host, Dr. Carrie Drisga.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Functional Medicine Radio Show, the only internet radio show dedicated to giving you real solutions to improve your health. Not only are they real solutions, but they're natural solutions as well. Because as you know, the one and only true wealth you have is your health. I'm your host, Dr. Carrie Drisga, the Functional Medicine Doc, and I'm committed to helping you find the root cause of your health problem, fix the cause with natural treatments, so you can feel normal again and live your life to the fullest. Just a quick bit of housekeeping before I introduce today's special guest. I'm happy to announce that I'm working on my next book. The title is Reclaim Your Digestive Health and Feel Normal Again, Fixing the Root Cause of Your GI Distress with Natural Treatments. This book should be ready later this year, so keep an eye out for it. Okay, that's it for housekeeping, so let's get started. So on today's show, I'm talking with Dr. Ricky Brar. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Now, Dr. Ricky is a functional medicine doc with the Living Proof Institute. His role is to empower you with the knowledge and motivation to achieve your health goals. He is passionate about helping you regain your health and get to the root cause of your issues, regardless of your diagnosis. His functional medicine journey started as a patient. After working with several practitioners, he got to the bottom of his energy and digestive issues using functional medicine and has not looked back. Now he hopes to help others recover from their health challenges effectively and efficiently. Dr. Ricky, thank you so much for being my special guest today on this episode of the Functional Medicine Radio Show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Carrie. I'm so excited to be here.
So, Dr. Ricky, I wanted to kind of pick your brain today, so to say, about adrenal health. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I'm very passionate about adrenal health. It's played such a big role in my own case as well, and it's something that's often overlooked, and even when it's found, it's mistreated or kind of just brushed aside as not being one of the main causes of many health symptoms.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Okay, Ricky, we have 25 minutes. Where do we start? Where should we dive in?
Well, the key thing with the adrenals is they're the main stress gland of the body, but at the same time, they're very tiny. They're almond size. They sit on top of both kidneys, and one of the primary hormones they make is something called cortisol, and that's our main stress hormone. Its main role in the body is to raise your blood sugar. However, we have a high need for cortisol just with our current lifestyle and issues with our environment. The big missed component with the adrenals is kind of what is causing that adrenal fatigue. So in clinic, what we do often see is that life stress, whether it's your work, whether it's just sitting in traffic, commuting, whether it's relationship stress or financial stress, any type of stress that you have, your adrenals usually take the beating for it. So the big missed blind spot there is what I see. It's typically not the number one reason people have adrenal fatigue. Even if they're in a high stress environment, I like to call these things blind spots. They have many blind spots that play a big role in their adrenal health.
Okay, so what are some of these blind spots?
The number one and number two things that I look into are gut overgrowths and gut infections. That's number one. A lot of times patients are carrying around these gut overgrowths or gut infections. They may have picked them up a while ago, whether it's a parasite, a certain dysbiotic bacteria, or a yeast overgrowth. And it just slowly starts to take their nutrition away from them. It leads to inflammation through several pathways. And these things you don't really realize are happening. Some patients are completely asymptomatic from a digestive standpoint, and they could still have these hidden blind spots. The other big thing there is even when these things are found, a lot of times they're considered non-pathogenic or not a cause for alarm, because at the end of the day, they're not going to instantly cause something like death, but they will make your life very, very miserable. And then number two is things like insulin resistance and blood sugar issues. One of the key questions and one of the first questions I ask patients is, can you skip a meal? What would happen if you just skip lunch today? How would you feel? And for the most part, the patients I do see in practice, they'll tell me that they'll be very irritable, they'll be very short-fused, might get lightheaded and dizzy. The term we like to use is hangry. And they just won't feel good. They'll absolutely need that food. And that alone tells me a lot. A person should be able to skip a meal, should be able to go with a general fast for a few hours. So that's something foundational, even without testing, that you could kind of use as, it's not 100%, but a good barometer of where your overall adrenal health lies.
Okay, so you just brought up two big topics here, gut infections and blood sugar. So let's dive a little bit deeper into the gut infection. So you said something really important about you could absolutely have a gut infection, but not necessarily have any digestive upsets. And I actually see that all the time in my practice at Functional Medicine Ontario.
Yeah, definitely. It's a big part of other conditions that aren't necessarily associated with gut symptoms, like your general IBS type symptoms, whether it's diarrhea, constipation, bloating. Actually, some of the quote-unquote worst results I've seen to date where they have multiple infections, these patients have had what I call iron guts. They really have no digestive issue whatsoever.
Okay, Ricky, so iron gut. I can totally see that within some of my patients. Can you tell us more about the relationship between gut and adrenals and just health in general?
Yeah, definitely. I'll share my story. It'll help tie these things together. But even with me, I started with very, very poor energy. That was the first thing I noticed. And this was dating back almost 12 years from today. I just never felt a sense of well-being. I used to sleep until 2 p.m. if I didn't set multiple alarm clocks or nobody woke me up. I wasn't a morning person at all through undergrad. I purposely chose classes that were in the evening. I'd rather be in class till 10 p.m. than wake up in the morning. I used to drink a ton of coffee. It used to upset my stomach, but I absolutely needed it just to meet my basic responsibilities. Even in the gym, I've always been a very athletic person. I'm very passionate about playing hockey, and it's been a big part of my life pretty much since I was 5 years old. But my recovery was so poor. If I worked out, I would need days and days to recover, and I couldn't really gain much muscle. And then somewhere along the line, I started having digestive issues as well, where I wasn't digesting my food adequately, nothing was sitting well. I went through huge weight fluctuations as well. I'm about 5'10". My highest adult weight was about 182 pounds. And at that time, I was what I call skinny fat. I had a lot of weight around the midsection and the thighs. I didn't have good muscle tone. And then my lowest adult weight was about 128 pounds. So I've seen both ends of the spectrum. And I worked with several practitioners. And adrenal fatigue was actually ruled in pretty early on, but the approach was not adequate to help me get out of my symptoms. I would feel marginally better. And this is where the connection between the adrenals and the gut comes in. Your adrenals are a great starting point. They tell us that a person's hormones are affected at the end of the day, that their stress system, whether they're just stressed from their life, whether they have these gut infections, whether a lion is chasing them, that one stress system, it's not working adequately. It's not meeting the demands. And the key thing there with the adrenals is if they're hypofunctioning, they're low functioning, you're not going to feel very well. So there's certain supplements you could take that actually help you feel well pretty quickly. And a lot of times what I see is many practitioners will go straight to those supplements. A patient will start feeling better. They stop working with the practitioner, and all of a sudden everything comes back tenfold. And that's because the adrenals are rarely, if ever, unless there's a tumor or something structural going on, the primary cause of those symptoms. This is where the gut comes in. The gut is the root of all good health. It's where you absorb all your nutrition from. It's your immune system at the end of the day. If you have any type of overgrowths in your gut or infections, these things are going to be toying with your immune system. They're going to be toying with your nutrition. It's almost like the analogy I always use is it's like you're wearing a 100-pound vest and you're walking around through life every day just with this vest on. And that's an additional stressor on the system. So to add to all your day-to-day stress, the gut comes in. So in order for you to test the adrenals and just look at the adrenals, it's rarely ever enough. I call it almost a gateway test. It's essentially you going down a rabbit hole where you find low adrenal function, but you should be looking deeper, like, why is this person having this adrenal pattern? Why is their body producing this response of low cortisol? And that's where the gut comes in. That's the biggest one I do look at in clinic. And even in my own case, once we did the adrenal test and we saw that I was making next to no cortisol, we looked into the gut. And this was actually my first time doing functional testing, other than maybe an adrenal panel early on. I'd worked with multiple practitioners, but I started as a patient at the Living Proof Institute, and we finally tested. I found multiple gut infections. So I had an H. pylori infection, I had a parasite infection, and I also had small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, SIBO. So I finally had an explanation to why I had this cyclical pattern of taking supplements, feeling marginally better, but then just crashing all over again. And once we started to address those root causes, it was just a night and day difference. All of a sudden, I started waking up without an alarm clock at 6 a.m., 6:30, and I'm still like that today. My motivation went through the roof. I was able to accomplish all these tasks. My digestion became amazing. I started tolerating all these foods that I thought I would never be able to enjoy again. My weight finally started to normalize. My recovery is outstanding now. And it's almost interesting. The way I kind of look at all this is, my story is not unlike many other functional medicine doctors where they almost start as a patient themselves. So I feel like I had to pick up a lot of these infections just to learn how to treat them properly.
I know, it's kind of funny because my story is very similar to yours. And I would say, as a practitioner, I've learned over the years that, just as you said, testing the adrenals first, it doesn't really tell us very much, because it's about getting to the root underlying cause. And so I've totally changed my paradigm, and I've moved towards testing the gut very often, more so than testing the adrenals, because that's really where the bulk of the stress on the body is coming from, these internal infections that are just creating stress, robbing you of nutrients, contributing to hidden food sensitivities and leaky gut, and it's a mess.
Definitely. And that's another great angle that you mentioned there. We hear a lot about leaky gut. It's all the rage in the media now, and it's slowly picking up steam. If you type it into PubMed, you'll actually start to get a lot more articles than a few years ago now. And it's being linked with a lot of autoimmune conditions, food sensitivities. And it's another one like the adrenals. If you do find a leaky gut, you have to question why. And that's one thing that I love about functional medicine. Functional medicine never stops asking why. So essentially, it's like starting with the outside of an onion. And once you peel off that outer layer, whether that's doing an adrenal panel, whether it's just through a questionnaire or something like that that indicates some adrenal involvement, once you start, you really got to keep peeling that onion back till there's nothing left. You're right at the core of it. And even with leaky gut, you got to ask why. With the adrenals, you have to ask why. And the gut is always where we start. So even the patients that come to us that are looking for what we call preventative medicine, which is the best way to look at it, because this is going to help bulletproof your health and your immune system and your gut for years to come. But we always joke with them that before you're able to graduate from our program or working with us, we have to delve into your gut. We have to look into your gut. Whether you have symptoms or not, I'm not going to let you out my door until we look into the gut, because that could be something that doesn't manifest for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, but it's a blind spot for you.
Okay, so let's switch gears here and talk a little bit more about the other blind spot that you mentioned, which was blood sugar.
Yeah, definitely. And this is huge. If there's one thing that I really could just maybe even randomly pick 100 people out of the mall and assess and make sure they have good blood sugar management, that's a huge blind spot. It's not only just for your adrenal health, but your overall health. We, from a young age, most of us grew up on kind of a standard American diet where we have carbs with breakfast. And even if you think about our basic breakfast foods, there are things like pancakes and toast and orange juice and coffee with a couple sugars in it. And it's pretty much all carb-based. There's a lot of carbs in there. So what happens is our body is really not adapted to have that many carbs first thing in the morning. So when you start at a young age, or really any age, you start having tons of carbs in the morning, you make insulin. And insulin is our basic blood sugar balancing hormone. Every cell in your body, except your red blood cells, have a receptor for insulin. And when that insulin receptor gets insulin attached, it signals your cells to use up all the sugar to make energy. But what happens over time is your cells kind of get confused because insulin is not supposed to be hypersecreted all the time. They go, hey, maybe insulin's kind of out of its mind. It's not really, it's impossible for it to be telling us to use carbs all day, every day. So these cells pretty much stop listening to that insulin response. And that's when we get something called insulin resistance, because then insulin goes, why aren't these little buggers listening to me? And it starts secreting even more insulin. So one of the great things about even doing an adrenal panel, depending on the lab you do, is we look at insulin response. So you do something called a carbohydrate challenge, and you look at how your cells respond to that increase in carbs before one of your meals. Now, this process over 5 years, 10 years, it's going to zap your energy stores. It's another one where it's like wearing a 100-pound vest and just walking around. You're going to be pretty much dictated by your hunger. You can't really go long periods of time without food. It's going to be hard for you to concentrate. That's when you start craving the worst foods imaginable. You want to reach for that potato chip. You want to get that pastry. You want to have a coffee with multiple sugars in it. And these things will really, really lead to changes in the body. It'll lead to weight gain in the areas you don't want weight gain. It'll lead to inflammation in many. It'll lead to, I love this term, but brain fog is a big one. So these things all tied together will ultimately impact your adrenals, but your overall health will not be adequate unless you have good insulin signaling, unless you have good blood sugar management.
Yeah, and I would say to add on top of everything that you just said is that having poor blood sugar management will absolutely affect your brain health. And in fact, what they know as Alzheimer's disease, they've kind of given that the term diabetes type 3.
Definitely.
As being a blood sugar problem in the brain.
Definitely, yeah. And it's scary to think that what we thought might have just started in our 60s and 70s, it's starting in our 20s and 30s. And this is why the rates of it have increased so much. Yeah, you type 3 diabetes right into Google and you'll find that it's Alzheimer's disease, and it's a huge blind spot, but it's also something that is exciting because blood sugar management is not difficult to achieve.
It's very simple. That's exactly right. So tell us, Dr. Ricky, about achieving good blood sugar management.
There's a few mechanisms at play there. The main two that we look at the Living Proof Institute is, one is your stress levels. So if you're extremely stressed out, and again, stress comes in all shapes and forms, your cortisol signaling is going to be all over the place. So cortisol raises blood sugar, insulin brings it down, and when you have this interplay happening with your diet, that's player two, and you're getting lots of carbs in, you have extremely high stress in your environment, it's a perfect recipe. If I threw those two things in a pot, it would make insulin resistant. So the key thing there is making sure your diet is conducive to your lifestyle and your level of physical activity. If you're not very, very physically active in the morning, skip out on those carbs. You don't necessarily need them. You could have a little bit, but make sure that you have a nice, adequate cortisol spike in the morning. Make sure you have good energy in the morning. Make sure you're not relying on those carbs to feel good in the morning. The key thing there is to make sure as the day goes on, hunger doesn't really dictate when you should eat. Your body sends you these signals, and these signals are not meant to tell you, hey, do this now. They're almost warning signals that you should have done something an hour ago. So if you're thirsty, you should have drank water an hour ago. If you're hungry, you probably should have ate 30 minutes to an hour ago. So if you keep playing this cycle, it ends up really, really being costly in the long run. So making sure your diet is well balanced, making sure the carbohydrate proportions are good in your daily diet, and also around times that you're more physically active, even laying off. A lot of times what we do is we have patients postpone their highest carb meal till dinner, and that helps them manage their blood sugar well too, because now they'll get a nice little spike and they'll be able to sleep through the night. Their blood sugar won't dip. And then again, we have to find ways to mitigate stress. Simply going to the gym for 30 minutes if you sit in a chair for 50 to 60 hours a week won't necessarily mitigate it. So you have to make sure you optimize sleep and recovery. Even start things like a meditation practice can be very beneficial. So those are the two big things that we look at, is definitely stress and diet.
Okay, so now that we've been speaking about the two big blind spots, so gut infections and blood sugar, let's kind of switch gears and talk about adrenal fatigue. And well, you know and I know, Dr. Ricky, that adrenal fatigue is not accepted as a diagnosis per se in medicine. But most of our patients and most of the public don't realize that. So they read all about adrenal health, adrenal fatigue, adrenal exhaustion on the internet, but then they go to their doctor, their medical doctor, and they talk about that, and then their medical doctor looks at them like they're an alien.
Yeah. Yeah, we see that all the time.
So can you talk about why adrenal fatigue and adrenal exhaustion are not accepted as diagnosis?
Definitely. So the term adrenal fatigue, if you really type that into PubMed, you won't get much. And that's why in conventional medicine, it's not really accepted as a diagnosis. At the end of the day, it really isn't a diagnosis. It's not something that's terminal. It's not something you're stuck with. And the other key thing is there's really no medical approach to getting you out of adrenal fatigue. Adrenal fatigue is what I consider a state. It's currently in an adaptation state. And that's another great term that I did hear earlier this year. It's a hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis maladaptation syndrome. So I know that's a mouthful, but you pretty much have this axis. Your hypothalamus is a brain structure. It's the control center of the brain. Your pituitary is almost just a middleman. It tells certain hormones to be produced, and then your adrenals are the workers. And for several reasons, you could have some sort of maladaption happening there, and that could be why you have what we call adrenal fatigue at the end of the day. But adrenal fatigue itself is not a label or a diagnosis. And again, the big thing with adrenal fatigue is not there because your adrenals are shriveled up like raisins. They actually don't look any different. If you biopsied them day one and then in stage three adrenal fatigue, they're not any smaller or any kind of graphic you may get when you hear that term. It's actually just your brain. Your brain is trying to protect you. So somewhere along that chain, it shuts off cortisol production. It brings cortisol production down because high cortisol production for long periods of time is just as detrimental to your health.
Okay, so this is such great information that you're giving us today, Dr. Verkey. So let's switch gears. We're going to kind of go back, kind of loop back to something you said at the beginning about, you know, this is why people take an adrenal supplement. They like feel better. But then over time, they start feeling worse again because the real root cause hasn't gotten treated.
Exactly. Yeah, so the big thing with adrenal supplements is they're everywhere. And it's not that they're bad products. They're excellent products. I'm a big fan of many. But simply taking an adrenal stimulant supplement or something to calm your adrenals down, those are typically the two categories we do see. It doesn't really answer the question as to why your adrenals are fatigued. So you could go out and you could get something that has what we label adaptogens in it. They basically help your body in one way or another deal with stress better. So these include things like ashwagandha, rhodiola, tribulus, or you could get things that increase the half-life of cortisol like licorice, and you could feel pretty good because your free cortisol rhythm just went up. You're feeling good. Your cortisol starts to balance. Stress isn't as overwhelming as it was before, but again, it's something that buys us time to dig deeper. And what's often missed is that digging deeper, nobody really looks to see what's going on below that adrenal fatigue and to make sure that this patient won't need the supplement for the rest of your life. So that's another key thing I tell all my patients is any supplement I give you, my goal isn't to have you on that supplement for life. My goal is how fast can I get you off that supplement so your body can establish that new equilibrium. So if you use a supplement and it makes you feel good, but you have this reliance on it for the rest of your life, it's no longer a supplement. It becomes a medication. So that's the big thing I see with adrenal supplements is they're often overused and they're used for a long time without looking deeper, finding out why that adrenal fatigue is there in the first place.
Okay, so Dr. Verkey, we're starting to run low on time here. Is there anything else that you think our listeners should know about adrenal health?
Definitely. The big thing with adrenal fatigue, again, is you have to do certain things to protect your adrenals. So even for any listener that doesn't necessarily have an adrenal fatigue type symptom or they're not in that state yet, you really should do a couple of things to help make sure it doesn't go down that pathway. One is just do the basics. Find ways to mitigate stress, make sure you're optimizing sleep, avoiding artificial light, go for a daily walk. Like the things that people were doing hundreds and hundreds of years ago that were just a natural part of our day-to-day, that's very big. Another thing that's very big is the use of stimulants and caffeine. Now, this is absolutely massive because myself included, at one point, we really start to rely on caffeine. And in my opinion, caffeine is not something that should be used for energy production. A cup of black coffee has about 5 calories, so there's really not much energy in there. But caffeine is a stimulant. So at the end of the day, if you feel like you're on a scale of 10, about a 4 in terms of energy or even lower, and that cup of coffee gets you to a 5 or 6, that coffee is being used negatively. It's not going to really be conducive to your health. Coffee should be used as a performance booster. So you should generally have a good level of energy before even beginning. You should be at an 8 out of 10, hopefully even a 9 out of 10, and then that coffee pushes you to a 10 out of 10, so you could use it if you have any work to get done, you want to be productive, you have a workout. And then the third thing I tell every single patient is find your blind spots. I could sit down with the patient for 8 hours. I could have them fill out a 300-page intake form, but there's a layer to their health that you just can't tell me. I can't get that from a questionnaire or just you writing it down. So you could even be taking the right supplements, not the right dosages. You might not be getting to the root cause. And the other key thing is a supplement should not always have a substantial effect. So if you take, for example, a B12 and your life changes, all of a sudden you have a ton of energy. The only reason that that happened was because you were so deficient to begin with. So why were you deficient? So find your blind spots, and that's where the functional testing comes in.
Dr. Ricky, for listeners who want to know more about you, where can they find you?
Yep. So the main website we do have is thelivingproofinstitute.com, www.livingproofinstitute.com. And then they can also connect with me on Facebook at Dr. Ricky Brar. And those are the two best methods.
Dr. Ricky, thank you so much for being my special guest today. This has been an awesome interview.
Thank you so much for having me, and I love your work. Keep doing this and getting this message out. I really appreciate it.
All right, that wraps up this very special episode of the Functional Medicine Radio Show with Dr. Ricky Brar. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in today, and I'd like to invite you back next week for another episode of the Functional Medicine Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Dr. Carrie Drisga, the Functional Medicine Doc. Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to the Functional Medicine Radio Show with your host, Dr. Carrie Drisga, known internationally as the Functional Medicine Doc. Dr. Carrie is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems and fixing the cause with natural treatments so they can feel normal again. Dr. Carrie is the founder of Functional Medicine Ontario and is the author of the hit book, Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again. Please tell your friends about the Functional Medicine Radio Show, and we'll see you next week with more from Dr. Carrie.